Welcome to the Tales of Osteopathy Students with me, Chelsea, and my good friend V. How you doing, V?
Hello! Long time no see. It's season four!
Yeah.
How weird. How weird.
So weird.
I feel like a wizened old fart thinking about when we first started this. And it was like in the summer of after first year. And we were like, la 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 la! And now we're like, oh la la la.
Yeah, literally. I kind of cast my mind back to that time when I think we were both so full of beans and so like, I've learned so much and I'm feeling like I know all the things. And I'm like, I know nothing.
Yeah. That is the stage, isn't it? Last term of third year. And we're definitely at that bit where we're just like, oh God, there's so much more I need to know. And I don't know it.
Yeah, so many things I should have learned in first year that I didn't, and I should know now.
Yeah, when we were carefree.
Yeah, carefree, young and youthful and glorious.
Yeah. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. I've had quite a week of study. I've been doing lots of anatomy, like a good student should have done 2 years ago, but, you know, better late than never. So getting there with that, I had really annoyingly yesterday 5 cancellations because apparently everyone's ill.
Ah, that's nice to know. Yeah. I don't feel so sad for myself now.
A wide variety
of non-COVID related. Oh, really? So it's not just a cold.
Two COVIDs.
Okay.
And then a food poisoning. A feeling really dizzy and very strange. And a flare-up of an existing condition.
And let's just rewind, because it's been a really long time since we, like, updated. But when you say cancellations of what?
Oh, yeah, that's a good
point. What are you up to now?
Because I'm doing lots of sports massage, Ayurveda, one-to-one yoga stuff. So it's an array of things, which I'm really enjoying the variety, actually, rather than having like a whole day of just massage. I get to give my hands a little break, you know, and get to do other stuff. How are you doing, dude? How are you feeling?
I'm okay. I'm in a blip, a cold / menstrual cycle. So I'm like, why? But it's fine. Giving my body the rest it deserves. Which I hate resting. It sucks. I recently started CrossFit and I'm just like so bodily aware of how unfit I've got and how much I want to be like, woo-choo, flex my guns, so strong. There's like some incredibly, incredibly like strong women at this CrossFit gym, which is so friendly as well, which I really appreciate. And I'm just like, oh my God, when I grow up CrossFit wise, I want to be like you. So I'm really enjoying that. Nice. Really, really enjoying that. And as soon as I get over this damn cold, I will be back at that, which I'm well excited for. It's a very nice like outlet from just from life. Right now.
Fair.
You know, fair. The general terrible shit show that is our planet right now.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it an absolute...
Let's not go down.
What an absolute joke. Yeah, let's not go down. This is an escape from reality for everyone today. Welcome to the magical land of... What's the name of our podcast? Tales of Osteopathy Students.
It's been so long. I was actually like a little bit like, how do I talk on a podcast again? And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Like, it's just chat to you. So it's most likely be a whole bunch of nonsense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, winning. So, yeah, sorry for our absence. We've been busy little bees. And our schedules just haven't really lined up, have they?
No, they've not. No, they're really not.
I mean,
you get, what, like a half day off here and there?
Yes.
And I have one day off to collect my shit together a week and then go.
Yeah. I've got, are you ready? 2 whole days off.
What, now? For the weekend?
For the weekend. I've got a Saturday.
Who are you?
And a Sunday off. I'm very excited.
What?
I know.
And I will have to say, snap, I've got no plans. It's actually like a very strange sensation that I'm a bit uncomfortable with, which I need to like address in my head. I'm like, right, so I've got the whole weekend off. So 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. I will do this. Try to stop scheduling in.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a big old walk tomorrow, I think, because the weather's supposed to be beautiful. I'm just going to go and be in some nature.
Yeah.
Nice walk.
The sunny weather is really making it, isn't it?
It is indeed. It is indeed. So we have, part of the reason we've been busy little bees is part of us being in third year is that we've been doing lots of observation in our university clinic at the UCO. So V, you've been going like every Monday, haven't you? And I've been going every other Monday. So with like our uni weekends, you're deeper in to your clinical experience than I am. So what have you, tell us about what you've seen, what you've done, what you've seen, how you feeling about it?
So much. I've seen so much. Yeah, so we have to do 11 days in clinic this academic year. Mm. And I just was like back, like every Monday from whatever it was, January 10th. So I've only got 2 Mondays left, which I'm really actually like a bit gutted about. But I've just been enjoying it so much. It's my favourite part of the whole of the 3 years so far at UCO is being in a clinic and actually having real life experiences with patients and in an osteopathic context as well. So you're imagining like how you would deal with that sort of situation, which some of the situations are quite difficult situations too, rather than just like the what we were expecting, like the case history taking, the evaluation of like signs and symptoms and like the presenting pain and all of that sort of stuff and going through that. It's like I feel like I'm learning so much more by having real life connections with patients.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this bit of it. And I'm actually like really gutted that I'm gonna be finishing soon and it's just gonna be exam essay season.
I know. We just have to sneak you back in. Just like,
sneaky.
Yeah. I was kind of like, I think when I first started going in, I realized that because I think people like you and other people have done the same thing where you've done every week, it kind of already formed these like really good connections with some of like the fourth and fifth years. And because I was coming in every other week, I was like, oh God, like, did I pick the wrong thing to do? Like, should I have come in every week or, you know, whatever? But then it's like, I'm actually kind of quite glad that I've spaced it out because it's like, over a long time, you know, and I feel like by the time I get towards the end of the year, I'm going to feel a lot more confident as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, it's been a completely different experience to what I've had observing in clinic in, you know, near where I am, where I observe a couple of osteopaths here. I guess not so much, well, a bit more of a wealthy area. It's a very, you know, white area. And appointment costs are much more kind of expensive than what they are at the UCO clinic. And I think compared to the location of it, it's like seeing a completely different range of patients and things that come in. And you're totally right. It's so much more challenging than it's not, I've got low back pain. Okay, this is the treatment. Let's do that. It's incredibly complex situations and conditions and things like that. So much cancer.
So much cancer.
More than I ever thought that I'd see. Because it's a thing of like, oh, you need to be aware of X, Y, and Z and make sure you don't treat blah, 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 you know, all that sort of stuff. And it's like, but it's a lot. And I think that's partly down to the pandemic as well, though. Like people being like, oh, I don't want to bother my doctor because they're busy and they've got other things to deal with, sort of thing.
Yeah, I think you're so right. There, obviously, I have worked with cancer patients before whilst I was a student nurse. And I think everybody knows like the statistics and like one in two people will get cancer be affected by cancer at some time in their life. But until you see like over these, just like a couple of weeks as well, and just one day, and you don't see that many patients in the UCO clinic in a day as well, the risk factors that you're looking at, and because obviously cancer is a red, like you're thinking about like, is this patient just screening for any red flags, not thinking every patient that comes in is going to have cancer, you're just screening for any red flags. But there's just like so much of it, isn't there?
Yeah.
We're just like, oh.
Loads.
It's a bit of a reality check, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's like you kind of have a conversation, like you're in a consultation with it and you come out of the room, you're in the team point and someone else is talking about another patient that they've seen, you know, that's got cancer, or, you know, could be assumed, or it's a risk factor that is like, we're not sure about this. We want them to go to their GP to get the all clear first before we progress with treatment. But so many patients turned away as in, we can't treat you today because it's not safe.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of that. So yeah, that's been quite eye-opening, but really, yeah, really interesting. But also, and for a moment, a big shout out to Danny Miller, who has become our new hero.
Danny Miller is one of our tutors at the UCO clinic, and we have some really wonderful tutors in the clinic and at uni. But I think his like teaching methods and like personal career interests do particularly align with both of our interests as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's such a great teacher. Like he takes a lot of time as well. Like on Monday this week, he spent a lot of time with us, like really helping us going through stuff like case history form and present how you present a patient and all of that sort of stuff. And it was really invaluable. So yeah, it's been amazing. Yeah. Feeling very lucky to have him as a tutor.
And I think just giving tips on both Chelsea, you and I are such overthinkers. And like always going to like, there must be a more complex answer that I've not thought of, which is natural. And I think it's part of our personalities, but there's definitely ways that you can make that easier for ourselves in clinical context, which I think has been a really interesting skill to learn just for life as well.
Yeah.
It's okay to take like the three pieces of information that come to mind that really stand out for you and go follow those first before you try and find five different things to get like or more.
Absolutely. And just like it really helps, like, right, just saying three, it's a rule of three, just three things, like bam bam bam, and that's it, instead of being like blah, 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 you know, the crazy creative like whatever is coming out of my brain. But I do overcomplicate everything, and it's like, just break it down now, simplify it.
Another thing I really love about clinic is that I can really start picturing how I want to work as a osteopath and really picturing, like from what you were saying earlier about a more diverse group of people in the UCO uni clinic than in lots of other clinics or private practices of lots of different professions as well in the UK. And I was just thinking this week at work, like, oh, at the moment I'm working as a barista in a town near me, and it's a very wealthy town, which I don't really, it's a very nice town, but I don't align politically, morally with like the socio-demographic there. And I'm like, oh, but if I wanted to live in this area, this would probably be the demographic of my patients. Just thinking about, oh, like what can I do as a practitioner and in osteopathy as well, to obviously you can't control like who comes to you as a patient, but like how can osteopathy, not in like central London or central cities, be more open and like have more information to appeal to a more diverse group of people than just wealthy white rich people.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's just interesting to start thinking about that sort of thing and realizing how strong I believe in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep thinking about this idea of kind of, if you sort of like calculate how much money you can earn a week, you know, like from being an osteopath or whatever, I'm just like, I'm tempted to do half a day a week as like a free clinic or something, to like offer treatment for free. But also, like, I am thinking about working within the NHS as well. And I'm hoping by the time that we graduate, there's going to be even more kind of cohesion between being in private practice and being able to accept NHS patients, kind of like how dentists do, you know. I mean, it's cheaper, right? It's not free to go to a dentist, but it's cheaper if you're an NHS patient and stuff. So I'm hoping there's going to be something like that around.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting as well to hear about how other countries work. So let us know, listeners, if you're living in a different country or you're from a different country and you're, you know, the osteopathy world, which I'm assuming most of you would be listening to this podcast. Let us know, like, what the sort of demographic of patients is like in osteopathy, or is it more accepted as a route of healthcare?
I've just realised something terrible.
Oh no.
We haven't talked about drinks and snacks.
Who are we? Are we even us? I don't know, especially because I've just been making my way through three easy peel oranges through this whole thing. What drinks and snacks have you got, Chels?
Today, I'm very much on the coconut water. Love that coconut water.
Hydration station.
Always.
Going to have a good poo later.
Yeah, always needed. Love the coconut water. I once went for a run and then drank a litre of coconut water. And I tell you, never felt so clear in my life.
Health personified right there.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, incredible. And I don't really have snacks. I just had lunch. But can I tell you about my plans for snacks later?
Yes, always. Yeah.
So I'm on the health train at the moment. Choo-choo. And so I've got I went all fancy and got Pink Lady apples because it's Friday. Oh. So, you know, why the hell not? And some almond butter. So I'm getting some little slices of apple dipped in almond butter and carrot sticks with the holy guacamole, my new fave, because there's no milk in it.
So good.
And it's got, and the first ingredient is avocados, and it actually tastes like guacamole rather than like, you know, the normal mushed up pot of stuff that you get. I've got that. And also just like a fucking mountain of crystallized ginger, because
crystallized ginger is my favorite. So good.
I had it in porridge the other day and it was fucking life changing. Incredible.
It's so good in porridge, isn't it?
Yes.
So good.
So good. Mm.
It's like one of the only things I can really smell at the moment because, I can't remember when we actually recorded the Christmas chats, but at the week of Christmas, me and my family all had COVID, which I think like 60% of the country probably had COVID during that period.
Yeah.
But ever since, I have had no sense of smell.
Mm.
I know, absolute shit bomb. Mm. I will accept your feeling sorry for me because it sucks so much. I think according to the GP, who was absolutely lovely, she thinks that my sense of smell is coming back because I've had like this weird sour smell and sour taste. What is my brain? Does anyone else get period brain, or is that just me?
No, yeah, period brain's definitely a thing.
You're just like Yeah. So food has like really fucked me off, actually, because maybe you'll be able to tell from every episode since the beginning, me and Chelsea constantly talk about food.
Yeah.
Food is my life.
Yes.
Crystallized ginger is like one of the only things that I can smell that doesn't make me like, so nice. But I have made my way through 2.5 easy peelers.
Easy peelers.
I'm on the last half. So good. Easy peelers are the best snack in the world. I also made some baklava.
Oh, what? You made it!
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love baklava. Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know if you can see that.
No!
Dropped it.
Don't drop the baklava.
It's all good. We're all good.
Oh.
It has been recovered. I just did such a like a. Do you remember those like old school like 10 years ago when people on YouTube would try to show you a product?
Yeah,
and they would put it on their hand and bring it to the screen. Just did that with my back.
Amazing.
Yeah, but so good. Oh, and I'm just chugging down the old Lemsip.
Oh, see, you're a convert to Lemsip. You used to hate it.
I still think it is the devil's drink. Whoever created it is a monster. Especially the lemon flavor, but because I have virtually no sense of taste or smell anymore, I can't smell it, so it doesn't bother me.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
I fucking love a Lemsip. Just if I wake up poorly, I'm like instantly like, where's the kettle?
Hello. If I could still like have cowpole, I'd be well happy with that.
You can have cowpole. 3+
under the age of 2.
Yeah. 3+ cowpole is the one. 6+ cowpole can get in the fucking bin. And I know that every single person is exactly the same as like when they were a kid and they got on that 6+ cowpole and just like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, give me the 3+. Bastards.
Yeah. I think that is the stem of when you start having negative thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. Cowpole, get your shit together.
Yeah. As a human being, as soon as you switch to the shit cowpole.
Yeah.
And not that strawberry delight from yonder years. That is when all negative thought comes from.
Yeah.
Just solved a century-old dilemma there.
Yeah. Can we make an adult cowpole? Isn't it just that it's like a lower dose? Is that what cowpole is? Like a lower dose of...
So. They probably just put less sugar in it because they're like, come on now.
Yeah. Better spoonful.
You should be able to do
medicine. Go down.
Mary Poppins really creeps me out.
Yeah, she's pretty creepy.
Sorry.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Pretty creepy. I thought of something fun for us to do today. Fun/.
That was just the surprise.
Yeah. Fun/ harrowing.
Oh, God.
So, what I thought could be quite fun/ harrowing is that, you know, we need to learn anatomy, and part of our podcast is we do anatomy on this podcast. Yes.
Yeah.
Is that I thought we could do a little quiz together.
Oh, fun.
Okay, good. Fun, not harrowing. Let's do this. Right.
Yeah. No, it's all good. I might get it terribly wrong and have an existential crisis and a loss of faith in my osteopathic practice. But fine, let's continue.
Excellent. So pick an area of the body.
The foot.
I knew you were going to say that. I nearly preloaded that quiz. I thought, I bet she'll want the foot. Right.
It's only because we've recently done it in study weekend at uni. So I feel like it should be fresh in my memory, but who knows? It's not my favourite place, body part.
So we're going to do muscle facts. Of the foot.
Oh, fuck. I'm shit at muscles in the foot. Bones fine. Okay, let's go.
Okay, we're going to do it together. I haven't got the answers. It's us going for a quiz together. Oh. So I don't know the answers. It's a team. It's a teamwork event. I'm just clicking the buttons. Yes. Okay. Okay, so the first question. What is the insertion of the extensor hallucis brevis muscle? We've got options.
Oh.
Okay. So, tuberosity of the navicular bone, the fourth metatarsal bone, base of proximal phalanx of the great toe, base of proximal phalanx of the second toe, medial process of the calcaneal tuberosity, or base of the distal phalanx of the great toe. Oh, we got that choice. Oh, no, distal phalanx of the great toe. Yeah, or proximal phalanx. Okay.
Okay, so extensor hallucis, did you say brevis or longus?
Brevis.
Brevis. So let's extensor. Mm. So that is big toe up towards you.
Yeah.
So it's on the dorsum of the foot, this muscle.
Yes.
Hallucis is the big toe.
Big boy.
Brevis means short. So it's a short muscle.
Mm. So it's definitely not. Because it's the insertion point as well, not the origin.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the tuberosity of the navicular. It's not the medial process of the calcaneal tuberosity.
No.
It's not the fourth metatarsal bone.
No.
So we've got the base of proximal phalanx of the great toe. base of proximal phalanx of the second toe, it's not that one because it's hallucius brevis. So we've either got the base of the proximal phalanx or the base of the distal phalanx. So
I think it will be distal, because if you think about the movement extending the big toe, that's right at the end, like the end of the toe.
I think
most
it's
distal part.
I think it's proximal because it's brevis.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah, I reckon proximal because it's brevis, and longus would be
the long, like all the way to the end.
Yeah,
the distal part.
Yeah.
I see your logic, and just to be different, you say the proximal one, I'll say the distal one. We'll see who's right. I believe you're right, but
let's find out. It's proximal!
Woo! Nice one.
Next question. Select the origins, plural, of abductor hallucis muscle. So plural origins of abductor hallucis. Hallucis? Yeah. So adductor as in abduction, abductor.
Yeah. So kidnapping away.
Yeah, taking it away. Big toe again. So the options we've got is the intermediate cuneiform bone, the lateral process of the calcaneal tuberosity, the navicular bone, the flexor retinaculum of the foot, the medial process of the calcaneal tuberosity, and the talus. I don't think it's the flexor retinaculum of the foot. I'm going to strike that one from the list.
I don't. But it's origins, isn't it?
So origins, plural. So we're going to have more than one.
I find this one more difficult to visualise, I've got to be honest.
I'm thinking calcaneum. Calcaneum is singing to me at the moment, this moment in time.
And this is on the plantar aspect of the foot, isn't it?
I think it goes through the arch. You know, like round the arch and like pulls to the side, kind of underneath.
Okay.
So thinking of, obviously the big toe is on the lateral aspect of the foot. No, medial aspects of the foot, sorry. Right. So medial process of calcaneal tuberosity is one thing that I'm thinking as an option.
Yeah.
Maybe talus? Talus is too high. I don't know.
Does the tendon at the end come round the toe?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm trying to like actually picture the muscle.
Yeah. So medial, I tell you what, it's not intermediate cuneiform.
No.
I think navicular bone, medial process of the calcaneal tuberosity.
Yeah, I would agree. I do think it's calcaneal tuberosity. But I also think there is a fascial connective tissue origin as well. I just don't know what that is.
There's one of the options is the flexor retinaculum.
I'll pick that then.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going flexor retinaculum and medial process of the calcaneal tuberosity.
Yeah, because I think it must do, because there's, it will be on there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like visually doing a fascial charade situation with Chelsea, which you can't see because it's a podcast.
Those answers were correct. Flexor retinaculum.
Yeah.
Excellent news. We're not as shit as we thought we were. This is good, isn't it?
Okay.
So what is the insertion of flexor digitorum brevis? Okay. So
the flexor, so it's on the plantar aspect.
Yeah.
Digitorum.
Yeah.
It's all of the toes, except for the big toe.
Yeah.
And brevis.
Means it's littler. Do you want the options?
Yes.
Okay, so insertion. So the options are cuboid bone, bases of the middle phalanges of the second to fourth toes, metatarsal bones, intermediate cuneiform bone, lateral cuneiform bone, middle phalanges of the second to fifth toes.
Oh, yeah, because the first one said second to fourth, didn't it?
Yeah.
So it's the second to fifth one.
Yeah, defo. Right. Correct.
Woo!
Right. Next question. What is the insertion of the extensor digitorum brevis muscle? So options.
Insertion, did you say?
Yes. options: metatarsal bones, bases of the proximal phalanges of the second to fourth toes, bases of the middle phalanges of the second to fourth toes, bases of distal phalanges, first to fourth toes, lateral cuneiform, intermediate cuneiform. So again, extensor digitorum brevis. So littler, extensor digit. Oh, so it obviously doesn't go to the fifth toe, turns out. Who knew?
Yeah, that's interesting. So it's the second to fourth one. What are the options for those? Because there were two.
So the second to fourth is either the proximal or middle phalanges.
And it's extensor digitorum
brevis.
Brevis. Mm. So what we learned before is the proximal.
Yeah, one. Should go proximal.
Yeah.
It's the middle.
What?
It's the middle one. Yeah, you cheated.
What is the middle one?
No, as in the middle phalanges.
Oh, right. Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, which muscle flexes the third to fifth metatarsophalangeal joints? Options are...
Wait, can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, which muscle flexes the third to fifth metatarsophalangeal joints?
Okay.
Ooh. So we've got dorsal interossei muscle of the foot, flexor hallucis longus muscle, quadratus plantae muscle, abductor digiti minimi muscle of foot, extensor digitorum brevis muscle, plantar interossei muscles.
Is there only one right answer?
Yeah. So it's not flexor hallucis longus. It's not abductor digiti minimi.
No. I think it might be the plantar interossei one. I think.
Mm. I feel. Yes. I feel that sense of joy. I'm clicking on it. It is correct.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Yay. Okay.
Yeah. Listen. Call the flute. The flute. The flute. The flute is a lovely instrument, but the foot is what I meant, and it's so complex. It's so complex, and I don't like the...
Oh, do you want a really horrible question?
Yeah, go on then.
What nerve supplies the abductor hallucis muscle? So we're back to this geese, but what nerve supplies it? So options. Deep fibula nerve.
Sorry, say the muscle again.
Abductor hallucis muscle.
Okay.
So we've got deep fibula nerve, lateral plantar nerve, medial plantar nerve, superficial fibula nerve, dorsal digital nerves of foot, proper plantar digital nerves. I literally, by process of elimination, I'd say stab in the dark, medial plantar nerve.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because it's the most medial sounding one, because it has in the name and I can't picture the nerve pathway.
Let's try it. Oh, it's correct. Multiple choices.
You've only got to guess sometimes.
Okie doke.
We're learning HVTs this year. In uni, in techniques class, which HVT means high velocity thrust, for anybody who doesn't know.
Yeah.
And those are like the classic, like quick movement crack sort of things that you might see osteopaths do or chiropractors do to articulate joints. Which is your favorite joint this year to learn the HVTs for?
I think props thoracics. I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I've quite liked doing that. I've also quite liked doing the carpals in the wrist. Quite like that as well.
Mm.
How about you?
I did like carpals. But I've got to say, I really like the lumbar roll stuff.
I just think it's a fucking faff. It's a
faff. It's only because we've not got it down pat yet.
Yeah.
But it just takes practice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For any osteopaths listening who've already graduated and you are living the life, please tell us if you have any tips of getting better at HVTs, at techniques and stuff like that, other than just practicing a lot, because I do understand that. But if you have any tips, I would appreciate that.
Yeah, I think I've still got a bit of the thrust in fear with some of it.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yes. I think especially cervical spine, so the neck, I think I've got a bit of a fear of that, you know? Yeah, I know it's like, we know it's safe. We know you've gone through all the jazz. Like, we know the score. I still don't like it.
Yeah. I think that's understandable, though. Mm. I still find it difficult to like navigate the like facet orientation and stuff like that for the like cervical spine HVT. So I think that's what I struggle with that part.
You know? Yeah. It's like visualizing it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like getting it all in your
visualizing head. Visualizing it and then, understanding what you're actually feeling as well in order to, like, educate, inform what you're about to do, you know?
Absolutely. We have got some very exciting stuff coming up for season 4. We've got lots of interviews are coming. We've got lots of stories. V's been sending me little sneak peeks of some medical stories, which has taken me all my strength to not look into in more detail. We've got lots of things coming up, so it's going to be a fun.
Just whispered fun, though. Because it is still fun. It's but we're stress.
Yeah.
What has been your favourite thing so far in year 3?
My favourite thing so far, I think the thing that started to pique my interest the most in year 3 is biomechanics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I really dig it, because I think it's because my little logical mathematical brain is very much like, this does this, talks to each other, does this. It was just like really breaking down movement and how things work together within the body. And I just really enjoyed it, and just my brain just kind of really got involved. So that was quite cool. So I've really, really enjoyed learning that. But I've also very much enjoyed Danny Church in pathology too, because he's bloody brilliant. Mm. So that's been my favorite.
I think this
so
has
far.
Been one of my favorite subjects as well, is pathology classes, because it's just so interesting, like how many ways the body can be like, no.
Yeah. It's like, no, thank you. That's the body.
Yeah. And I think I oddly find it very comforting to know how much the body can go wrong. Because I find it a lot easier to learn about a pathology, say like pneumonia, to like understand the anatomy and the physiology of the respiratory system and the lungs and all of that sort of stuff, or something along those lines. It really cements down the information that we already have. So I would say to anybody who's struggling with understanding the way like something anatomically moves or something like physiologically works, I would say find like a disease or a condition or something like that that affects that part of the body, and then try and like work your way back, and it might stick in your head a bit more.
Yeah, it makes it a bit more tangible, doesn't it?
I think so.
What's your favorite bit?
I think pathology is my favorite bit. Yes, I've really understood, really, like, it's really helped me to understand things better. I love clinic. I'm really enjoying rehab, because I'm not, in my profession, I'm not exercise-based knowledge-wise. And I think the rehab stuff in conjunction with, like, learning how to do CrossFit, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is making a lot more sense in both of those experiences too. So I'm like, oh, yes. But I think BAO, so being an osteopath module, is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
We had a really great lecture the other day. Is he a guest lecturer?
I guess so, yeah. I think he's still part of the faculty, but he's just not as frequent as like Johnny and Soren.
So we had a lecture. Is he a psychologist? Psychiatrist? Psychotherapist?
I don't know. One of them.
One of those, you know what I mean. And he was talking to us about common mental health disorders, conditions, all of that sort of stuff. And just making us a bit more aware of like the details that separate things, which are very small sometimes. So talking about depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, which you obviously know that I was like, hello, let me listen to a little bit more. And I think learning a bit more about these, I find very important to me because I've been really interested in learning more about the psycho side of the biopsychosocial model that osteopathy practices. And so far, I don't feel like we've massively focused on the psychological side as much as I probably would like. But I think that's because I'm very interested in the subject and will probably end up doing further education in it. So I think I really like that. And in our lectures with Johnny too, we've been going over like gender and identity and like things like weight and all of that sort of stuff, in like understanding how to have conversations about those topics, which can be very triggering for people and need sensitivity around them, so that we could be better prepared and better informed for our patients too.
Yeah, totally. I think it's like this year's been incredible actually with the range of topics and things that we're learning about. There's not any lesson that I'm just like, ugh, about. I mean, there's obviously some lessons I go into and like, I don't understand any of this.
Yeah.
So I know there's, you know, stuff, but I think it's all really interesting. Everything's been really valuable. Yeah, they're really right. Even talking to the years above us as well, all the same. It's like first and second years are fucking slog, and then you get into third year and it's just like, where have all these teachers been my whole time? God. Yeah. I mean, some of them we have had in first year too, but you know.
Yeah. I know we did like so much learning in year one and year two, but I feel like this year in particular has been like, whew, like there's been a lot more consistently that I'm like, oh, I really need that to go in my head and stay there and not just like in one ear and out the other.
Literally,
yeah. But it's good. I'm looking forward to recording on a more regular basis so we get to talk to you all, and let us know if you want us to talk about anything particular in season four.
Yes, tell us all the things, get in touch. Like, what do you want to know about? What do you not want to know about? Yeah, we're going to be in your ear holes back on a regular basis.
Yay! Yeah.
Ooh.
So if you'd like to get in touch with us or follow along on our journey, you can either email us with your questions or blah, blah, blah at TTOOSpodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow us on pretty much any social media. We haven't been very active at the moment because we've been on a break, a very extended break, but we will be back on social medias, and that is TTOOSpodcast. And we would love to hear from you.
Send us all your things, do all the stuff. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye
bye.